Thank you so very much this morning. I am elated to be here with you, and I have enjoyed to the fullest the great message that my chauffeur has brought. Brother Mike has been my friend for a long time, and had he not driven me up here today, I doubt whether I would have gotten to come or not. But we've been planning it for a long time, and I've encouraged him to come because I wanted him to know you and you to know him. And I have had my prayers answered because you have heard preaching this morning. You know, when I go somewhere, and I may have said this before in your presence, when I leave here, I want to feel like I've been somewhere. I want to feel like that I've heard the word of truth. And as he has gone through the many examples that he did this morning, it cheered my soul and fed the hungry soul that I have, and I have appreciated very much. Good to see all of you, your good pastor, who have made such, we appreciate your kind hospitality, and I just ask you to continue to pray for me as you have prayed for him. I've changed my mind just a little bit since he began to preach, and I may wind up in the same place, but I'm going to start at a different place. I want to read to you from a very familiar text to you Bible readers. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. The Bible says, now faith. He has talked to you today about men of faith. If you'll follow through this chapter, and I don't intend to belabor you with that point, but if you will follow through this chapter, you will find many of the examples that he has mentioned, like Gideon and David. You know, Gideon made the excuse, Lord, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And God overruled his thinking. God does that. Could be in his decree to do so, but he says, now faith is the substance. The word substance simply means the underlying factor. Sub, under, stance, position. Submarine goes under the water. Stance or stand. So I half sold what he has said this morning by saying that the faith that you are given at the point of regeneration. Let me just say this fundamental principle, lest I forget it. Every elect child of God at the point of regeneration receives the measure of faith.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
And that faith, that only God can give. And you remember this, that God can't give something he doesn't possess.
That's right.
That faith is the underlying factor of all that you are in Christ. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5 and 22 bears that out. That faith is a fruit. Therefore, one must be in possession of the Spirit before faith can be produced. Is that not right? If faith is the fruit of the Spirit must be first of all that.
Right.
That's fundamental to what we believe. And God's faithfulness, God's faith, what advantage hath the Jew? Romans 3 and 1. What advantage hath the Jew? Paul's answer, nobody could have answered it any better than he could. He gives you his pedigree. What advantage hath the Jew? Much in every way. But what was the main point? Unto them were committed the oracles of God. The nation of Israel is the only nation that God ever gave a law. He never gave a law to the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, or any otherite.
Right.
But to the Israelites, he gave his oracles. But what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith, and that word translated faithfulness, make the faithfulness of God without effect? Brother, I'll tell you, I can make a promise to you when I'm in a good mood and deny it in a bad mood. But God himself, you can have faith in his faithfulness. Faith in his faithfulness. That is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. When he talked about Noah, you know, Noah was over 500 years old when his first child was born. My daddy would say in them days, men was men. Is that right? For by faith the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Then he talks about Abel. And then he talks about Enoch. And then he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Amen.
He didn't say it's hard to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet. What hadn't been seen? The rain.
Right.
Hadn't rained for 1600 years. Had the water get up. A mist came up from the ground and watered all the earth. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness by faith. You read these characters of the faith that he's talked about, and you see how important understanding that faith is the substance of things hoped for.
Right.
The evidence of things not seen. Now, there's more than one kind of faith talked about in the Bible. You know, today, when we read back in Apostle Paul's experience, the churches of Galatia had never seen him by faith, but they'd heard about him. Amen? What did they hear about him? That he now preaches the faith.
That's right.
that he once destroyed. The faith that was once and for all time delivered to the saints.
Amen.
That faith, the faith of the gospel, the gospel faith that Paul preached, was that wonderful message that had been concealed under the old covenant, but now was made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. What a wonderful statement. I wish I'd have said that. I tell you today that when we come to the house of God and we sit under the sound and influence of the gospel, there is a saving element in that. There is a deliverance in that. I remember when Paul began to preach in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17, and he came there and there was a lot of things that were going on in the church. And I'll tell you right now, if they were here today, we wouldn't see them in our meeting because we'd say they're out of order, amen? We'd say they're out of order, and that'd be the truth. But I want to tell you something. When Paul came to preach, do you know what he did? He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize. And he's not low-rating baptism, my friend.
Right.
Baptism is an obligation for the believing child of God.
Right.
Baptism is not an option. It is a command to you who have been born again. But he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? To preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. Are being saved? No. But unto us which are saved. That are means a condition that exists at the present time. Unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Brother, if the gospel is not the power of God, you tell me what it is. It is the gospel that is the power of God that brings life and immortality to life. Now, I want to go back here for just a few minutes and notice here what he says. And I don't want to take anything away from my brother's preaching. It was wonderful. Now Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 has delivered his Sermon on the Mount. He has talked to us about some practical issues and many, many things there. But the Bible says in verse 28 of Matthew chapter 7, and it came to pass. Go back through your Bible sometimes and see how many times the Bible says, and it came to pass.
Right.
And it came to pass. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine.
Right.
I'll tell you today, people are still astonished at his doctrine. They're still astonished at his doctrine. When you get down to brass tacks and the rubber really meets the road, I want to tell you, people, religious-minded people, are astonished at his doctrine.
Amen.
I may have said this before and I say it again here. There's a man told me one day, he said, Brother Rick, I love you, old Baptist, but said, he said, I just can't agree with you on a lot of things. I said, well, what do you differ with us on? He said, well, I believe the Lord will save you if you will let him. And I said, well, what if I don't let him? He said, he'll send you to hell. I said, no, he won't. He said, why? I said, because I won't let him. That'll work just well one way as it will the other. Amen. That'll work just as well one way as it will the other. And I'll tell you right now, I'm glad I believe in the God that saves whom he will.
Amen.
He's going to do that. And as People hear that, they are astonished at that still today. They are astonished at that kind of teaching. They're astonished at what God's power really is when you boil it all down in this. And the Bible says this, when they were astonished at his doctrine, and I thought about it while he was preaching, for he taught them as one having authority.
Amen.
One having authority and not as the scribes. Oh, now. Now, I'm not going to charge you for that. Now I've got it out of my text. Somebody said the other day, I was preaching in Texas, and they said, I didn't come out here. Said, y'all don't have to give me a thing. I said, you speak for yourself, brother. I'll tell you that. When he was come down from the mountain, now he's come down. The Sermon on the Mount is over. Two things happen. Several things happen in there. 8th chapter of Matthew, but you can read what I'm talking about. The first thing that comes down, what happens when he comes down, multitudes follow.
Yeah.
Multitudes. But out of those multitudes, there came a leper.
Yeah.
Now you go back to the 14th chapter of the book of Leviticus and you read about the laws of the leper.
Yeah.
He had to stand afar off. You remember when those 10 lepers came to Jesus? They stood afar off. That was the law of the leper. He must put his hand over his lip and cry, unclean, unclean. And people would pass to the other side of the street. A leper came. But the leper worshipped him.
Yeah, yeah.
Now put this in the right kind of frame now. The leper worshipped him. What did he say? Lord, if thou wilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him.
Yeah, right.
Touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now I'm going to skip some verses and go down to Peter's mother-in-law. And when Jesus was come to Peter's house, in verse 14, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left. The touch of Jesus. I want you to go back now with me. Just after the leper was cleansed by his touch, and the fever is left by his touch, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion.
Yeah.
What was a centurion? He was a, best way I can describe it, he was part of a group called the Green Beret. He was in charge of 100 men. And this man was highly thought of by the Jewish nation. They told all of them, he's helped build our synagogues. He's one of our favorite among the Gentiles. Show him some consideration. When Jesus entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now you remember, this man was not a subject to the gospel address. This man couldn't come into the synagogue even though he helped build it. Remember, the Gentiles now, some people have the idea that when God turned to the Gentiles and the preaching of the gospel of the Gentiles is just like turning off one light and turning on another. There was a generation, brother, that this had to go through, and there were many, many changes that had to take place. And not only that, but even after the gospel was promoted to the Gentiles in a great and wonderful way by the apostles, still those Judaizing teachers kept coming and coming and coming. And bringing the false doctrines that they did, that they understood under the law. Jesus was confronted by this centurion, beseeching him, that is, compelling him in the strongest way that he could, saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy." He was paralyzed. I don't know what it was, whether it was something like Parkinson's, where he'd had some kind of ailment. Don't know what it was exactly, but the Bible says he was sick of the palsy. Grievously tormented. This was a serious thing. And saying, "Lord, my servant is at home sick, grievously tormented." And Jesus said to him, "Why? I'll come and heal him. I'll come with you and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou should even come under my roof." You know, you remember that Thomas said after Jesus had been risen from the dead, "Except I see the nail prints in his hand." That old Jew had to see before he'd believe. Here's a Gentile that said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof. I won't have to see it. But if you'll just speak the word, I know my servant will be healed. I'm a man under great authority. If I tell a man to go, he'll go. If I tell him to come, he'll come." But he says this. When Jesus began to hear this, he said, "I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. I'm a man under great authority. But if you'll just speak the word, I won't have to see it. I'll believe it by faith."
Right.
You know what Jesus said when he looked at him? "So great faith have I not found. So great faith have I not found. No, not in Israel. Not even in those that were subject to the gospel address." He hadn't found this kind of faith. "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west." You understand this? Those are opposites that never meet. Didn't say from the north and the south, said east and west. Opposites that never meet. "Many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and Jacob, the fathers, in the kingdom of heaven." Get this now. "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Listen to what he says now. Matthew chapter 11, and beginning with verse 12. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." From the days of John the Baptist. Let me just say this. I've got to go back. I got 11 minutes, all right? You understand this, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the gospel had been preached this morning, did not come into existence on the day of Pentecost. It was in existence on the banks of the Jordan River. In its infant form, John the Baptist being the first legal administrator. That's the baptism that our Lord Jesus had.
Amen.
You hear me? All right. The church in its infant form came on the banks of the Jordan River. It began to grow like a tree. There's parables like that, that the birds of the air lodged in the branches and the beasts of the field took their shadow under it. But now, Jesus is telling him that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Sit down in the kingdom of heaven. And as he begins to speak here, notice the terminology that he uses. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Brother, I want to tell you, the church in its infant form suffered violence, and it suffers violence today. There were those that would be happy if we locked these doors. But in that day, I want to tell you, the nation of Israel even rose up against the kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it suffered violence. And he said, the violent take it by force. That is, that you and I, just as those who tried to stop the advance of the kingdom, today we ought to have that same fervor in taking hold of the kingdom of God and continuing in the kingdom of God. That's what that means. Now, many, he says this. Notice the terminology that he uses. I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about up yonder. He's talking about right now.
That's right. Amen.
As my Father hath appointed unto you a kingdom, I also appoint unto you a kingdom, that you may eat at my table and eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Yeah. You see here, he's given us a kingdom to eat and drink at. He's given us a table to sit down at. Many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. Brother, I want to tell you today, I get absolutely nauseated with these no-hellers we have. Amen? Thank you. I'll be gone tomorrow. But I want to tell you, heaven is real, but I want to tell you, hell's real.
That's right.
They're set in contradistinction one to another in the Bible. One just as real as the other. With I believe that heaven is a place that is just as real as Milan, Tennessee.
Amen.
Just as real as Milan, Tennessee. And I believe the church is real.
Yes. Yeah.
It's not something that, this is a baptized body of believers here at New Hope Church in Milan. But I want to tell you that the church is more than just Milan, Tennessee.
Amen. Yeah.
It is. The church is an institution that God has given us. What God has given, he's given it laws that is to be abided by. It has rules. It has distinctions. And I'm telling you, we're housekeepers with that. We're housekeepers. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And the dead and the will. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. I want to tell you today that the nation of Israel, their eyes were blinded. Their eyes were blinded, and they have lost the joy. As a nation. As a nation. They lost the joy. And that. And I'll tell you today, I have a fear, brethren. The older I get, and I've been preaching nearly 56 years. I remember coming here when I was a boy preacher between 55 and 60 years ago. Everybody's dead and gone now, just about it. But I want to tell you right now, I remember those old men who got up and preached. And I'm not saying they didn't have their faults, because they did. But what I am saying to you, that I can close my eyes right now, and I can hear those old men preach. make me a joy down deep in my soul, and it stirs me to a greater service to God. And I want you to pray for me, Brother Doyle, that the older I get, if I fail to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, that my tongue would cleave to the roof of my mouth, and I'd not be able to speak those things. But I affirm to you today, bless your sweetheart, that just as sure as heaven is happy, that the Lord Jesus gave us a gospel to preach and a God to worship, and that same gospel today will stir the heart of the child of God, and that same gospel today is the means by which God's church is builded and populated. We don't need the furniture of the Arminian, do we? We don't need what they've got. I tell you today that the gospel is the means by which the church is built. And when God sent out those preachers to preach, he called them. It was a mystery to many of those Jews why Gentile could just say, "Lord, don't come under the roof of my house. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed." But I'll tell you right now, when all that came to a close, he said, "Go thy way. As thou hast believed, so shall it be unto thee. So shall it be unto thee." He did it by remote control.
Amen.
By remote control. He spoke the word, and bless God, it was done. You know, he still does that, don't you? He still does that. I'm glad. I'm going to borrow a phrase now. Somebody says, "Well, preacher, there's plenty I don't know about in the Bible. I'd like to tell you that I could answer every Bible question with the Bible verse, but I'm going to borrow a friend from a lawyer. I'm going to borrow a phrase from a lawyer friend of mine." I said sometimes, I deal with lawyers all the time in my office. And I said, "They may be good in somewhere, but I don't know where he's at." Amen. Well, he's a lawyer. I don't want to disappoint you now, but he's a lawyer. All right? He's a lawyer. And you know what he said? And he said, "Well, what do you," he said, "what do you do when you," I said, "what do you do when you just can't explain something?" He said, "I mugger it." Mugger. I said, "What in the name of God is mugger?" "Make it up as you go along." I borrowed that. Well, I tell you something, there's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things I don't know. And sometimes, I'll just be frank with you, I made it up as I went along. I did. But I want to tell you right now, Jesus didn't have that problem, did he? Paul didn't have that problem. He got it direct from the very throne of God. He didn't even have to study the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, Timothy did. He just talked about it. Paul couldn't convey that to Timothy. That gift lived and died with Paul. He told Timothy, "If you studied to show yourself approved to God on the workman." Somebody told me one time, boy, we live right there close to him. He said, "Well," I said, "I don't study very much. It shows up too." It shows up. It sure does. It shows up. And I tell you today, brother, that the gospel is too important for us to mug it. Amen. I've had to learn that the hard way. The gospel is too important to make it up as you go along. Well, we don't have to make it up. We've got a true record right here.
That's right.
We don't have to make it up. And somebody asked me one time, said, "Well, what do you believe about John 3:16? Had a neighbor of mine said, "Well, we both believe John 3:16, do you?" I said, "We sure do, but I don't believe it like you do." I don't believe it like you do. And I tell you today, I believe John 3. What does John 3 say? What are you going to do with John 3:16? I'm going to believe it just what it says. Amen. It proves what old Baptists believed is much or more than any verse in the Bible. It did. Yeah. "For God so loved the world." Sure it does. God so loved the world. God so loved the world what? That he gave his only begotten Son. You believe he died for a world he wouldn't pray for? Yeah. Jesus said in that prayer, "I pray not for the world." I pray not for the world, but for those that have given me out of the world. You believe he died for a world he wouldn't pray for? I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus died for his own. That's the world he's talking about. That's the world he's talking about. I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I'm not going to have to dot every I and cross every T, but you know that's the world that is talking about. God so loved the world to the degree that he gave, not offered, but he gave. He gave his only begotten son, the only one, his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him. That ain't what it says, it whosoever believeth. Yeah. I'll give you 22 scriptures from the New Testament that will prove to you that the believer is passed from death unto life. Amen. That the believer is in possession of eternal life. That the believer shall not come into condemnation. That the believer, that man that believes, has already been quickened into divine life. And I'll tell you right now, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ shall not perish. Shall not perish. But I'm telling you, he's going to be saved with a salvation that every other elect, like Noah, who never heard the gospel, that Gideon, who never heard the gospel. I'm telling you, you and I have a privilege today that Noah didn't have. We've got a privilege of knowing and understanding what the gospel is.
Right.
On this side of the flood, on this side of the resurrection, what a wonderful blessing it is to hear the joyful sound and be glad in the day of the Lord. Thank you, and may God bless you, is my prayer. I'm not through, but I've got to quit.